You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovan, and hot off the heels of opening day, joined by Jeffrey Flanagan. And Jeffrey, besides the win, how about the bling of that American League championship ring the Royals handed out? That thing is a stunner. I guess I haven't paid much attention to pennant winning rings as much as World Series winning rings, but that was up there with the World Series rings, you see.
Yeah, I agree. They didn't spare any cost, did they? I think they weren't very fired up about the whole ring ceremony and stuff like that till it actually happened, because it still kind of reminds them, you know, that they lost Game 7, and that's obviously the ultimate goal. But then once it happened yesterday and the pennant was hoisted and the crowd's cheering, they kind of got back into the spirit again.
Yeah, for those who haven't seen the ring, it does have a diamond on it with all the bases. And, you know, fortunately, the Jostens did not put a little blue diamond on third base to represent Alex Gordon.
yeah, that's right.
But in happier topics, the opening day win was obviously a nice start, and against a White Sox team that a lot of people are expecting big things from. But, you know, I like to look at what's real in those games. And Mike Moustakas going out to the field, something he had not done in his big league career, and to do it at Kauffman Stadium, where it's tough to do.
That's
a pretty nice sign for them.
Yeah, I mean, all the players were talking about that in the clubhouse afterward. Yeah. They were just kind of amazed that Moose could really go opposite way and hit a home run in a park that big. You know, I was talking to Rios about his home run, and he kind of stopped me in mid-question. Goes, well, what about Moose's home run? That was really the impressive one, because, you know, there was a little bit of wind blowing out that way, but not that much to really carry a ball. And he's been working so hard in the spring, trying to figure out ways to beat the shift and trying to not just flip the ball the other way, but drive it the other way. And we've seen, you know, flashes of it where he'll get a ball the other way that looks like it was fairly hard driven, but this one he just clobbered, and it went out pretty easily, you know, in one of the toughest parts of the ballpark. So that's a really good sign for Moose and a good sign for the Royals.
No, not that I sit at home drawing up Royals lineups. I'm not quite that big of a dork, but I never would have penciled in Moustakas for the number two hole. I don't think many people would have, you know, going to spring training. That kind of became a late spring development, and opening day, there he was, number two in the lineup. What's Ned Yost's rationale behind that?
Well, basically, he's trying to get Moose's confidence up, kind of the way he's done with players in the past. You know, years ago, he stuck with Eske and didn't pinch hit for him during an entire season, which was maddening the Royals fan. But, you know, Ned sees the bigger picture a lot easier than a lot of us do. And his idea with Moose is to get him up in the order early, get him involved offensively early in the game. You know, don't have him sit for an inning or two and start to fret about his at-bats. You know, just get him on page right off the bat, and coming off a decent spring, not a great spring, just keep that momentum going. And look, let's be honest, everything Ned touches lately has just turned to gold, and there's probably going to be another one of them, you know, where, you know, it makes some sense. He did this, he's talked about this before, he did this with Alex Gordon a few years back when everybody in baseball had given up on Alex, you know, the fans had, even some of the Royals insiders had given up on him too, and then Ned stuck him in the three hole, and he has a career year. So Ned just has some magic about that. I mean, you wouldn't really believe Alcides Escobar is a leadoff guy either with his career on base percentage. I think he's under 300, and Moose is 290, I think. And here's your 1-2 hitters. But you know what? It's just like in the playoffs last year, just like in September, it's working. So you just can't argue with it.
You can't. Ned has shown that golden touch, as you said, and some things he touched last year led to diamonds, as we saw with the ring. And maybe a diamond in the rough, and Alex Rios, a guy they signed for a bounce-back year, hoping for a bounce-back year, had a huge spring, showed a lot of power in spring, showed some power in opening day, as you mentioned earlier. You know, how big can Rios be for this lineup? And, again, we know that's a tough place to hit for power, but we also know Alex Rios can bring the power when he's motivated and healthy and has his swing working for him.
Yeah, it's just huge. I mean, you look at this lineup now, and and you can argue that your two weakest spots are one and two in the lineup. On the rest of the guys, there aren't really any holes. You know, they expect Morales to have a big comeback year, and he looked good yesterday. He walked three times and got a hit, and Rios had three hits and just clobbered a ball too, like he did all spring. And that just brings more pop to this lineup. I've said many times this spring, I think they're going to be a different looking team this year than they were last year. I think they've upgraded at DH, and I think they've upgraded in right field, and you're going to see more offense on this team. I think possibly they might give up more runs, losing James Shields and replacing him with Volquez, but I think this offensive lineup is going to score more, and it's just going to be kind of a different looking team where this won't be the last time I don't think you're going to see them reach double digits in a game. I think they're not going to be the 27 Yankees or anything like that, but they're going to I think they were at 4.02 in runs scored last year, which was a tick below the league average. I bet they finish above the league average this year in runs scored, and they win more games by maybe just slightly outslugging the other team. Not necessarily at home, but they're still going to be a doubles and triples team at home and hit the occasional homer. But there's more pop in this lineup. It just looks better when you look at it. And if they get any kind of production out of Moose, the two hole, and Askew has a decent year leading off, I think they really are going to score more runs.
Well, one of my favorite annual things to track with the Royals is the Steve Balboni watch, and I'm sure it's something we'll visit from time to time in this podcast. So I'm going to put you on the spot here, Jeffrey. This is the 30th anniversary of Steve Balboni clubbing a club record 36 home runs.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. Is this the year? I'm not asking you to pick who will do it, but is this the year somebody does it?
Nope, not a chance. Nope. if they get to 30 that would be, I would be kind of shocked. I mean, if somebody on this team got to 30, and there's some candidates. I don't think necessarily Rios is a candidate, but I think Morales could be a candidate if he stays healthy all year and has a big bounce back year. We just don't know about Haas. I mean, Haas has, of course, that kind of power too, and he could go off for 30. But that record too, it's a little bit tainted because in I think it was 95. Gaetti hit 35 home runs, but that was a strike short year of 144.
Right. 144,
so he probably would have beat it that year. But it's an amazingly low ceiling for home run record in baseball. Is that the lowest? It probably is. I mean, I can't imagine anybody else having a team record that's 36.
I don't have it in front of me, but I would bet good money that it is the lowest. And Gaetti could have pushed it to maybe like 38. It could have been much better, but it looked like a less happy note for a minute. How do you describe the feeling and the mood in the ballpark when Yordano Ventura comes out? It turned out to be a thumb cramp, and the Royals are saying it's no big deal. But, man, watching that was one of the weirder pitching injuries you'll see. And anytime a guy of that stature comes off the mound like that, you hate it.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you just heard an entire crowd of 40,000 just gasp, and including the guys on the bench, too, because – it was weird. I mean, he made the pitch. It got fouled off. He did his follow-through, and there didn't seem to be anything wrong, and suddenly he just collapsed to the ground and holding what looked like his right arm at first. We couldn't really tell from the press box view, but then when the trainer came out, Nick Kenny, and started rubbing his hand, I turned to a couple guys in the press box. I said, that's got to be a cramp, because if you've ever had one in the middle of the night when you're foot cramps or your toe cramps, you know how painful it can be. It's just like, it startles you, like, what the heck is going on here? And Yordano told me afterward that he's had them before, and especially coming from 95-degree dry heat in Arizona and for 6 weeks, and then coming back to the Midwest where it was really humid yesterday, and it's a totally different climate, and I'm sure that probably triggers some kind of spasm cramp. And they were all pretty relieved afterward that that's all it was. And he was, I talked to him, shook his hand, and he's fine. He wanted to prove to me that it was all right. So, I doubt seriously he would even miss a bullpen session. I think he'd be fine for his next start. But, boy, that's scary because he just signed the $23 million guaranteed contract over the weekend. Very happy kid right now. He's going to be able to take care of his family. And then, boom, I mean, the first thing you think of is, there goes TJ, but it wasn't anything like that. So they lucked out there.
Well, that contract, pitcher injuries happen and pitchers always a risk for an injury, but that's a pretty safe contract, I would say. 5 years, $23 million. Not unlike the Chris Sale or the Chris Archer contracts. Those are the two that just popped in my mind when I saw that. It's a very, it's still a lot of money. Don't get me wrong, but it's a pretty good deal for the Royals going forward.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, if you can say that it's a club friendly contract, it really kind of is. Now that you mentioned, there's always a risk with a pitcher; they can go down, but you know they've got insurance and everything like that. But for $23 million to lock up a kid that has this big a future, yeah, is a pretty good deal. And you wipe out the great thing for the Royals is you wipe out his first 2 years of free agency. So I mean,
right,
if this kid, you know, racks up five straight Cy Young years, you know, they're not going to get murdered. I think the club option years are $12 million each, and for a guy like that, by who knows what the economics will be 7 years from now, I mean, that's probably going to be a steal, I would think, down the road.
Yeah, we were just talking on the Tigers podcast with Jason Beck about Rick Porcello getting $82.5 million off of a breakout year. So lock them up young, and when they're young and hungry and on the rise. So I want to thank Jeffrey Flanagan for joining us, and thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.